Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Revelation 14:9-10. Heretofore, those who presented the truth of the third angel's message have often been regarded as mere alarmists. Their predictions that religious intolerance would gain control in the United States, the church and state would unite to persecute those who keep the commandments of God, have been pronounced groundless and absurd. But as the question of enforcing Sunday observance is widely agitated, the event so long doubted and disbelieved is seen to be approaching, and the third message will produce an effect which it could not have had before. Men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of enforcing the observance of the church by civil authority, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred as the people go to their former teachers with the eager inquiry, Are these things so? The minister presents fables, prophesies smooth things to soothe their fears and quiet their weakening conscience. And since many refuse to be satisfied with their mere authority of men and the manner plain, thus saith the Lord, the popular ministers, like the Pharisees of old, filled with anger as their authority is questioned, will denounce the message as of Satan and stir up the sin-loving multitude to revile and persecute those who proclaim it. As the controversy extends into the new fields and the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law, Satan is astir. The power attending the message will only madden those who oppose it. The clergy will put forth almost superhuman effort to shut away the light lest it should shine upon their flock. By every means at their command, they will endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists and Protestants unite.
Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, most Father, be most grateful and thankful to be once again live today. We're most grateful and thankful for what you've done for us during the past week, and we thank you for what you do for us in this upcoming week. Continue to let your mercy and your grace and your Holy Spirit continue to abide in our lives and continue to work through us, Father, that your name will be uplifted and the sin kiss. And we pray for the new government of the day, Father, that as they go forward, they'll go forward as the mighty army, proclaiming what you would want them to proclaim, Father, not what man would want them to say. Father, we pray for a double portion upon their lives, that at this time in its history, more than ever before, they need to listen to your still small voice. And Father, we know you'll do exactly that, like you did in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, especially when they lay upon their pillow in the nighttime, when they were wrestling from left to the right. You'll speak to their minds clearly what direction they need to go. So Father, we pray as you continue to speak, they will continue to listen, and they will do the works of you and no one else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. If you want to reach us to comment on the program that you're hearing this afternoon, you can call us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you could email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. If you want to visit our website, which is found at www.tpministries.org, at our website you will find articles written by Brother Paul, by Brother Renwick, Sister Marlene. You'll also find links to very interesting sites that we believe will assist you in understanding and in your study of the scriptures and these end time events that we are covering here this afternoon. Once again, Turning Point will be having a live call-in show on May 28th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's May 28th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And our topic for that evening will be Church and State. Should they unite? Church and State. Should they unite? So please, give us a call that night. Let us know how you feel, what you feel. You know, we just elected a new a government. So maybe some of the things that they have said or some of the things you may be interested in, you can give us a call and let us know on that evening concerning the joining of church and state. If you have any questions that you think that, you know, you might want us to answer in advance, give us a call at 322-6273 or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Again, at our website, you'll also find the email addresses of Brother Paul, myself, and Brother Renwick. Before we get into this evening's discussion, Again, we'll be dealing with church and state. And we'll kind of look at the election a little bit and see if it has any significance. Before we get into that, Brother Paul will give us an update on those things that he might have read in the papers that might be of some significance to us spiritually and to prophecy and or the topic that we are studying this afternoon. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. We're happy to come into your homes, your cars, your boats, or wherever you are today on this first day of the week. Coming from the newspaper, because that's one of the many things that are in the newspaper, is all liquor license suspended for election. Can you imagine that? Because of the general elections, they want you to be in a sober mind. They don't want no violence and uproar. The government, in their licensing act, they decide to suspend all licenses on the day of the election from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And during that time, if you were caught selling any liquor or beers, and buying cool drinks, anyone else, you would have been in trouble under the law, condemned by the law, sentenced either to jail, I guess, or with a fine or whatever it might be. What a wonderful thing. I wonder if, seeing that our new government in place, how would you all like if you were to sign to get a little petition going right early here? That one of the things they deal with first when they get in the courts of the House of Assembly, they suspend liquor license for the rest of our lifetime, and even for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, if the law should tarry that long. Because, you know, Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocking, strong drink is raging. And who's ever deceived by it? And that's why the government allowed you to drink on that day. They didn't want you to be deceived. They wanted to make sure you vote for the right party. So they said, you know, the best thing to do is if you're going to suspend all these liquor licenses. Let's think about it. And then in Habakkuk chapter 2, he even gives us much more bearings on this. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 says, a woe to those who give their neighbor strong drink and cause their nakedness to appear. So how about us getting a petition signed today? You know, we can start by just giving us a call at 322-6273 and let's get that petition going that this liquor license will be suspended for the rest of its history right here in the Bahamas. Let's get the ball rolling here. Because remember, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I told you Chavez did the same thing during Holy Week, where he asked to suspend all the drinking during that time because of the violence and uproar during the so-called Holy Week. Think on these things as we continue this program today.
Well, Paul, it was really short this afternoon, but anyhow, now that the people have spoken in our last general election, which was on Wednesday past, does this mean now that everything is going to be smooth? Since, you know, the people said this is the party that would be able to run the country for the next 5 years. Will things be smooth now?
I wish I could say yes, Brother Julian, but based on Bible prophecy, it would not be smooth. It's going to continue to get worse. As a matter of fact, Daniel stated this way in Daniel chapter 12. He said in Daniel 12, verse number 10, he said, many should be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked will do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Amen? So if you're wise, you know what's happening this time in its history. And Daniel is right on target that the wicked will do more wickedly. So whatever time we need to pray for our government officials, the time is definitely now, you know. And by all means, I think although the prime minister, our former prime minister, lost the election, maybe the Lord is trying to give him a little rest. Because I'm telling you, lady, being in government is not an easy thing. Because I'm sure many nights we're going to be at home, sleeping in the comfort of our air conditioning and driving around town and whining here and there. Former Prime Minister Christie, and also even our late Prime Minister, Pendleton, if he should have launched a rise him up today, he'll tell you the same thing, that these things are not easy, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just amazed how people, you know, they call the talk shows and they, like, you know, running the government is an easy thing. This is not easy. Our Prime Minister, now running Prime Minister, Hubert Ingham, should be a little bit commended here. I mean, because he said, you know, I'm getting on this thing. I'm just going to take a little back seat here. And, you know, the people cried out for him to come back. And here he is, once again, taking on the challenge. My heart goes out to him. And I'll be praying for him day and night that the Lord will sustain him during this trying hour, and especially the Bahamas, because, hey, the Bahamian people are not easy people. They're rough, I'm telling you.
Brother Paul, it seems as if you said that there might be some problems. So are you saying now with this new government, we have union problems? And more strikes, and more people asking for raises, and more people complaining that the roads ain't fixed, and more people complaining that the line's too long when they go to certain government offices, and the line too long at the hospital. Are you saying it's going to continue?
Yes, Brother Joe. As a matter of fact, Brother Joe, I mean, even before they swear on our Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingham, people were already talking, calling the talk shows and being interviewed by news crews, and they were saying, hey, if the government don't get rid of it, you know, we're going to roll them out too. So fixed his cabinet up to the time of this program, and people are already, you know, sending the warning out that if they don't do what they're supposed to do, they're going to roll them out. I don't think people really understand how serious it is to run a government. Let me run a scenario here to you. I want you to listen carefully. Let's say you're a parent, or you may be just a friend or a brother, and someone called you. Within an hour, we have about 5 calls. The first person calls, say, hey, man, say, I'm down here stranded on Goodman's Bay. I need you to come and assist me. Within that same hour, your mom calls you, tell you that she she's also in the dire need of you to come down to hook up a gas tank. We did not see him. Our son called you from school that he's being thrown out of the class because he did something wrong, that, and the teacher said they need you to come down right away. Within that same hour, you get a call from your bossman that he is also in distress, and if you don't come down, he's going to fire you. And within that same hour, the bank people call and let you know you missed 2 payments on your house. I mean, this is how it is with governments, ladies and gentlemen. And in the midst of this, through all of this, you know, you're trying to think, how am I going to deal with all these situations? My friend is stranded here. My mom needs me to come help me deal with this gas tank. My boss called me, let me know if I don't come right away, he's going to fire me. The bank is on my case telling me that if I don't come down to deal with this bank payment, they're going to take my house. And this is how it is with the government. It's a ripple effect. And we saw it all through the administration of our former Prime Minister, Mr. Perry Christie. You know, and I truly believe they tried their best, but, you know, trying all their best. And with the economy being as good as they say it is, it still wasn't good enough. So here they are, they're now a little bit, I can't even say they're retired, because they are going to sit in the opposition and they got their work cut out for them, ladies, as they both sides go battling back and forth. But I hope at the end of the day, they can come on one accord. Wouldn't that be a good thing that the FNMs and the PRP become on one accord? Because, you know, we're heading to a place where we would be sitting around the banquet table in heaven. And guess who's going to serve us? It's not going to be the men who work over to Atlantis or the Nassau Beach or the Emerald Beach. It's going to be the Lord himself. He is going to be the one serving us. Can you imagine that? And that's where we're heading, ladies and gentlemen. So let's pray that one day, I think it can happen, because we are loving people. The joint forces, the BDM, the independents, the PLP, and the FNMs, they can sit around and say, you know, so we're going to work together for the better cause of our people. That, hey, this will be a little heaven right here on earth. Can that be happen? It can happen, ladies and gentlemen. Don't tell me it can't happen. It could happen. Once we put our foot to the ground and we allow the Holy Ghost to take control of our lives, I think that can happen in the Bahamas, where all the governments will be united and they'll work for one common cause. That is for preaching the gospel in the Bahamas and yay, all around the world.
Brother Paul, why does a change in government does not really bring any real change in the country? Crime seems to be escalating. The rift with unions and other controversy always seem to be increasing. But here in the Bahamas, we've changed our government a couple of times, and these problems persist. Why do you think this is the case?
Brother Julian, that's a very powerful question you're asking. But the problem is, do the people believe it? You know, I think the Apostle Paul says it best. He said that the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, and never indeed can be. It's a sin problem, ladies and gentlemen. S-I-N. And it all began in the Garden of Eden, when our foreparents, Adam and Eve, rejected the word of the Lord. He told them, don't eat of the tree. The day you eat of it, you should surely die. And all of us are born with a nature bent towards sin. It's also a selfishness problem, also dealing with sin. And that's the reason why that the world is the way it is. The government is trying their best, ladies and gentlemen. But because our hearts are selfish, we want a quick fix. We live in a microwave age. We want a fix now. Once you call for the government and you want the government to put everything aside, you want them to do it now. You don't want to wait till tomorrow. You don't wait 4 years. You don't wait 5 years. You want it now. I was talking to a friend about this. People don't understand that when the teachers call for a raise, and, you know, Brother Julian, he's good at maths. Let's say the teachers call for a raise and they want $100 raise. I don't know how many teachers we have in the system. I guess about 3,000 teachers or more in the system. 2,000? Maybe. Let's say there's 1,000 teachers. 1,000 teachers in the system. And the government need to come up with $100. Somebody said that, Brother Julian. If you got to multiply 100 by 1,000.
100,000.
That's $100,000. They got to come up just to serve the teachers. And not only for that much, you know, for the rest of the teachers' career. So that's $100,000 they have to come up with to serve just those teachers. And then a month later, the policemen come down, they want $200 raise. And then a month later, the prison officers, they want a raise. Where do you expect for the government to get all this money from? The government are not selling pineapples and cars. I mean, most of the government are coming from taxes. So remember now, when the government have to pay these people the money that they are deserving of, I won't say that they're not deserving of it, we got to remember that the government need to raise some taxes somewhere. And, you know, we have what is called an indirect tax. So everything we buy, the tax is already added into it. So by all means, let's try to be, let's live within our means. You know, the world is wrapping up. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through here. We are ambassadors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's no reason for us to want to live. Let's say you have a comfortable home. I mean, you and your husband, you're living a comfortable life. Why should you want to add on to that house? Move from a three-bedroom to four, to you want to maybe move to a four-bedroom, 2.5 bath. You have 2 nice, simple cars, not too much to maintain it. You want to move from that to driving a Lexus or to Mercedes-Benz or whatever. Like, the moment you start to escalate, then you want your pay decrease to escalate. And then this is where the pressure comes on the government. So I beg you today to live a humble life, you know, because normally when we go to funerals, you know, you don't see the people bringing their stuff behind them. Everything just ceased to exist for them. And those who left behind are left behind. be fighting over these oxen that they left behind, as if these things are going to gain them entrance in the kingdom of God. Because remember, the Bible says, what should the profit of man if he should gain the whole world, and yea, at the end of life, he should lose his one and only soul?
But Paul, we've seen our government change a few times, in our lifetime. And I guess one time ago we thought that would never happen, but it did. Does the Bible predict or talk about governments changing, or does it talk about having one world government?
It does talk about governments changing. It also talks that time will come and it'll be the time the government and the church will work together. You know, this is one of the things that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar in his day. Nebuchadnezzar didn't buy it. And like I told you, I think last week in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar decided he'll set up a whole statue of gold. But yet today, Nebuchadnezzar right now is sleeping. And like the prophecies predicted in the book of Daniel, that Babylon would never be rebuilt. And even today, Babylon is still a nation of ruins. As a matter of fact, the gentleman that the American government killed, Saddam Hussein, was thinking about rebuilding Babylon. But, you know, the Bible prophecy is fulfilled. Babylon would never be inhabited. It would remain ruined even until the end of the world. And Daniel predicted to Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, he said, God raised up governments and he put them down. That's in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. He removed kings and he set them up. You know, like just a few weeks ago, the PLP government was in power. Now today we have the FNM government. And like I said a little while ago, I hope that today that they can work together, they can actually pool all their resources. I think about the ideas that our brother from the BDM, Cassius Stewart, I think his name is. He has some very good ideas dealing with trying to set up a university in Andres. I mean, a well put together plan. I'm sure flesh and blood did not do that. I mean, I'm sure these brothers can sit around the round table and, you know, let's put aside all of our differences and let's see what we can do for the betterment of our people. And if that should ever come off, I pray that the Bible will be the center of attraction in those universities. Because, you know, without the Bible, we're not going to know where we came from, we're not going to know where we're going, and we're not going to know what the end is going to be like if we just put aside the Bible. So by all means, it was ever time, and I hope that's something our new education minister put under his portfolio, that he will make the Bible one of the best reading textbooks in the new school year whenever he should take over his new, whoever that person might be, that the Bible be one of those books that they make prominent in all the schools, that they want the kids to read a book of the year, or the book of years, let that book be the Bible. And I'm sure you'll see a transformation, because I can speak of my own personal life, what the Bible has done for me from 1991 to this present time.
But Paul, off the air, as we prepare this program, you made a comment about the headlines in the National Guardian which says, Red Sea Rises. Would you like to share that comment with the people of the Bahamas, please?
Yes, Brother Joe. When I saw this headline here in Daniel, I'm sorry, getting jumping ahead of myself in Nassau's Guardian Thursday, May 3rd, you know, it said Red Sea Rises. It was talking about how the FNM would win a tight race of election. And my mind went straight on the prophecy of Revelation chapter 13, where the Lord showed with our servant John. He said, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. You know, if people would be excited and try to ask the Lord for the guidance and study the prophecy of Revelation 13, I'd be a little bit more or less excited about what the Red Sea rising through the political scene has done. They will see why the government is having such a hard time in order to try to bring peace and tranquility on this earth, which will never happen, as a matter of fact. There'll be no peace until the King of Peace, sad to say. But there can be peace in your heart today, because the Bible says, perfect peace have they that love his law, and nothing should offend them. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God has not given a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. So maybe you can begin to study that prophecy today, where Daniel saw the sea rising up, this beast rising up out of the sea. And the beast here refers to a man, according to Revelation chapter 13 and the last verse. And the sea here is a Bible prophecy of people. Because if you read that same chapter, it will tell you the sea is multitude, nation, tongues, and people. So here it is, we see the rising sea of the Free National Movement voters. They rise so high above the numbers of the PLP voters, and by that, they were able to take over the government. So here again, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, John saw the same thing. He saw this beast rising up out of the sea, and it's actually a man rising up out of the sea in a populated area. Sea again here represents people. So here today we are, and this prophecy is being fulfilled even as we speak. Behind the scenes, these prophecies are being fulfilled. Before we know it, the full reality of this prophecy will have been completed, and only those who are on the Lord's side will be saved.
Brother Paul, during the election season and hear all the platforms of all the political parties, one common thread seems to be, at least one of the common threads that seems to follow through each of them, is that how they will combat crime, how they will combat crime, how they will reduce crime. Based on your study of the scripture, will we see crime reduce, or will we see things get worse?
It's gonna get worse, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, the good news about it getting worse is those who are on the Lord's side, according to Psalms chapter 51, I think on Psalms 91, the Bible says the angel of the Lord will encamp about them that fear him and love him. So once you're on the Lord's side, as crime get worse, you'll be okay. But the Lord might decide you to die, you know, that you might be a witness to those who you left behind. And you will find that in Matthew chapter 10, where he says, fear not them that is able to destroy the body, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. But Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 21, he says, and there shall be great tribulation, such as was since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not even shall be. And except those days be shortened, says Jesus, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So Jesus, under the prophecy of Matthew 24, when the disciples came to him privately, asking what the times of these things would be, he said, there'll be a great tribulation. And this tribulation be so great, there's no time in earth's history that was been so great of a tribulation. He said, except those days be short, except I intervene into all the tribulation and turmoils that are going on, no flesh should be savior. And during that time, I would not like to be the government. I would not like to be the commissioner of police during that time. Because people are going to be saying that, hey, because crime is going on, you know, this is the time when church and state is going to work together. It's going to be so bad. My mind go back to those pastors that wrote those 12 questionnaires. You know, they're fulfilling Bible prophecy. They're in a step moving to try to legislate morality, as small as it might seem to you. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's on the way. And you know, I'm on a good note. You know, our Prime Minister now, Mr. Hubert Ingram, he's on the record stating that he don't believe that church and state should work together, and that's a positive. I love that, because you know the Bible still gives it right. And by him speaking those words, if he stand by his words for the remainder of his reign as Prime Minister, I mean, it gives us who know the prophecies a little more time to preach the gospel with power. 5 years. And who knows what's going to be after that 5 years is over, or who knows if he's going to have a change of heart. He might see things getting so out of control, he might decide to invite the church and say, let's work together, let's see if we can do this. But once that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, be assured, Bible prophecy be fulfilled, when church and state will work together, and according to Revelation 13, they will pass a law, and all those who don't follow that law, they will be killed, according to Revelation chapter 13.
Well, Paul, throughout your dialogue and today and past times, one of the things that keep coming through is this thing about church and state. Why are you so adamant about preaching against church and state combining?
Well, Brother Julian, based on historical records going way back into the period called the Dark Ages, anytime church and state work together, it always brings chaos for those who are on the Lord's side. Because what happens, they take away your freedom of choice. In my article I wrote in the paper last week in The Guardian, I talk about anytime someone tries to take away your freedom of choice, that is freedom denied. God never give no one the right to take away your freedom of choice. As a matter of fact, God has the power to stop you and I from doing whatever we are planning for today. He knows if you're going to do things to glorify him or not. And if he want to, he can actually stop you from doing what you want to do to bring danger to yourself. And, you know, in heaven, you'd be like, Lord, I'm happy that you did that. But the God that he is, he will send you warnings. He will send you signals not to go forward. But based on his word, and there's no doubt in my mind, I can see it. As a matter of fact, in America just last week, they were trying to pass a bill, a hate crime bill. And if that hate crime bill is passed, that means your choice of words are going to be very, very careful you're going to be using in America. And you know, whatever happens in America normally comes into the Bahamas. As a matter of fact, in Canada right now, it's against the law for you to preach against homosexuality. If you were to preach against homosexuality in Canada, you would be arrested. And it's all because of a hate crime bill. That means you have to choose your words carefully. You know, and I remember a prophet wrote over 100 years ago, he said, that what the people of God should do during a time of peace, they're going to do under great circumstances. And ladies and gentlemen, I can see that coming just as clear as day, that the time has come now for us to preach the gospel with power. Because soon and very soon, the airwaves will be a place where you will not be able to come and preach the gospel as clearly as we're preaching it today. And those articles that I write in the paper, that I be direct on some of the things that I say, sometimes people take offense at some of the things I say, but you know, people have questions. Sometimes I'm asked by the Lord, why do you have me in this position? Why is it you using me in order to say these things sometimes that offend certain people? But he told me, make it clear that whenever you write, whenever you speak, that people have to be guessing and trying to dodge, you know, what it is you want to say. Because most of the religious leaders today want to say things being politically correct. And only those who are studying the prophecies, and only those who study the Bible for themselves know exactly where they're coming from. But when people in radio land hear things, and when they read certain things that are out there in the media today, they'll be saying, what is the person here is trying to say? when you hear these different terminologies being used simply because they want to be politically correct in the religious circle.
But Paul, why is religious freedom so important to us as Christians in today's day?
The reason why it's important, Brother Jones, is because if it should be taken away, that means you and I would not have the freedom of religion. We would not have the freedom to choose whatever religious body we want to follow. Whenever religious freedom is taken away, or whenever church and state work together, it's going to be one common religion. Either you go the way they say, or you go against it, and you would be killed according to Revelation 13. As a matter of fact, most all the religious leaders that I know agree with this theory, that some people will be killed. But what they are teaching is they're teaching that there'll be a time of trouble after the church is raptured. But ladies and gentlemen, we know according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says when Christ appears, the wicked will be slain dead upon the earth. And it's an Old Testament prophecy where the Bible says there'll be dung upon the earth, there'll be no one there to bury them. So if the wicked are slain in the brightness of Christ's coming, and Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, as lightning come from the east to the west, it would not be nothing secret about that, ladies and gentlemen. It'd be loud and clear. Because the Lord will descend with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain shall be caught together and meet him in the air. And those that are left behind, according to Revelation chapter 20, will be dead upon the earth for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years is over, the Bible said, they will rise out of their sleep to be able to go forward, to take over the city, and God rain our fire from heaven on earth.
But Paul, wouldn't you like the government to pass a law that everybody keeps the Sabbath? And that's where you could say, well, we all here keeping the Sabbath.
That may sound good, Brother Julian, but here again, it would take away one's freedom of choice. Because if they do that, most people would not be doing it because they love God, but they'd be doing it because they are forced into doing the commandments of God. And here again, that's not what God wants. He doesn't want no one to take away your freedom of choice. And this is the reason why we say at Turning Point Ministries that we will never get a petition going to try to take away the day you want to serve God on. Everyone have a freedom of choice to serve God for him or against him. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 14, the Bible, the Apostle said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. It doesn't mean that when you're persuaded to do certain things, that means you're doing right. But here again, you shouldn't force someone to do right when you know that they're doing wrong.
Brother Paul, you see that you are somewhat against church and state. Does the Bible tell us what time or what period that this combining of church and state would happen?
It tells us, Brother Junior, it doesn't tell us as clear as it is in certain parts of the Bible, because it's more or less written in symbols in the book of Revelation, also the book of Daniel. But it tells you clearly that once you get the symbol, and if you want to know the symbols of some of these things, you can call me and I can let you know where you can find the symbols and understand the book of Revelation a little bit easier. You can call me at 322-6273. As a matter of fact, most of the things that are in the book of Revelation are written in a simple format or a prophetic format are found right in the book of Revelation, also the book of Daniel. And when that takes place, when church and state unite together, it's going to be like it was in the past, when it only brought chaos. And that's why America was formed. It ran from Europe because they were being killed over there. And when they went to America, they say freedom of religion for all. But slowly we can see, based on the religious people in the state, especially those that are part of the name went for me, the Christian Coalition, they are right now trying to get a law passed to take away people's freedom of choice.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, Turning Point, May 28, 2007, live call-in show. The topic will be church and state. Should they unite? And religious freedom. Church and state, should they unite? And religious freedom. That's May 28th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. 2 hours live call-in show, commercial free. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege for us to come before you this afternoon. Lord, we ask you to cleanse our hearts and our minds and our souls. Remove all evil and wickedness from it. Lord, as we move into a new era with a new government, we ask that you would be with us. Be with the new government, O Lord, and the opposition, that the things that they may do may bring honor and glory to your name, is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.